Today on Revelations, William Henry has a special and urgent commentary on the situation in the Middle East. Here's William.
Welcome, everyone. On February 5th, Americans were jarred and appalled by news that as President, George W. Bush ran a torture operation in 50 countries, and President Obama seeks the authority to be judge, jury, and executioner and use drones to kill Americans overseas who are, in their view, senior operational leaders of Al-Qaeda or its affiliated forces, people whom the Constitution protects against the loss of life without due process of law. Pundits say Mr. Bush and Mr. Obama have rolled back the clock over 800 years before the signing of the Magna Carta, which was forced onto the king by his subjects. As I read this, a sense of hopelessness enveloped me like a cloud. How can this be? What country did these guys say they lead again? Can you see Abraham Lincoln or Thomas Jefferson chasing and killing Americans with drones? What kind of America are we living in now? And as I read further, I realized our leaders live in a parallel, almost fantasy land, and all this is part of a grand plan, which I'll get to momentarily. The drone story was the scoop of Michael Isikoff of NBC News, who reveals that the Obama administration believes that high-level administration officials, not just the president, may order the killing of senior operational leaders of Al-Qaeda or an associated force, or Americans overseas, even without any evidence they are actively plotting against the U.S. In their mind, they could be at some future point, and that's good enough. But due process is no longer required. The president can simply push the button at his discretion. A lawful killing in self-defense is not an assassination, states the Justice Department white paper quoted by Isikoff. The report does not define what it means to be a senior operational leader of Al-Qaeda, nor does it define or acknowledge specific plots. The Obama administration just knows that they must be plotting, or they could be at some future point. That's good enough, once again. Legal experts expressed grave concern over the memo. Jamil Jaffer of the American Civil Liberties Union called the document pretty remarkable and said some of its arguments don't stand up to even cursory review. He said the paper only underscores the irresponsible extravagance of the government's central claim. Hina Shamsi, director of the ACLU's National Security Project, called the document profoundly disturbing and said it was hard to believe that it was produced in a democracy built on a system of checks and balances. It summarizes in cold legal terms a stunning overreach of executive authority to claim power to declare Americans a threat and kill them far from a recognized battlefield and without any judicial involvement before or after the fact, Shamsi told us in a statement. Watchdog groups and even members of Congress who are out of the loop have made repeated pleas for the administration to release secret internal documents outlining the rationale for the targeted killing program, especially when the target is an American citizen. NBC's report increases pressure on the administration to release additional documents. Anyone should be concerned when the president and his lawyers make up their own interpretation of the law or their own rules, said Mary Ellen O'Connell, a law professor at the University of Notre Dame and an authority on international law and the use of force. This is a very, very dangerous thing that the president has done, she added. In its response, the White House called the use of drones ethical, legal, and wise. Alex Jones types say the Obama administration is speaking with a forked tongue. Given that the drones are being deployed in the American homeland, some fear that the war on terror is coming home. Indeed, the military now considers the U.S. homeland to be a battlefield. The U.S. is already allowing military operations within the United States, and the Army is already being deployed on U.S. soil, and the military is conducting numerous training exercises on American streets. Americans who disagree with the president's policies are being labeled domestic terrorists by the FBI or policy terrorists. Our phones are tapped. All our internet activity is followed. If you grow your own food, you're suspect. The war on terror is really, we're told, a war on Islam. It's like the administration fears masses of Americans will convert to Islam, announce jihad, and take to the streets. Get to that in a moment. And you can easily see where this scenario is leading. Change isn't coming. It's here. And you can see why this news had me upset and even feeling hopeless. But then I realized that all this is part of the plan for the U.S. Iran's plan for the U.S., that is. Let me explain. On February 5th, 2013, I posted a story on my Facebook page about Iran's preparation for the second coming of the Islamic Messiah, the Mahdi, and his assistant, Jesus. My new book, The Judgment Day Device, provides a profile of Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, and his quest to herald the appearance of the Islamic Messiah. On January 31st, 2013, IranTracker.com reported that a representative of Supreme Leader to the Iranian Republican Guards addressed the coming of the Mahdi. He explained how current events in the Middle East are, quote, directed by the return of the Mahdi, saying, the fourth way of bringing about the arrival of the Mahdi is by preparing upheaval in the Middle East, and so long as there is not total upheaval in the Middle East, then the Imam, or the Mahdi, will not arrive, and neither will Jesus. Translation, the upheaval in the Middle East is designed to hasten the arrival of the hidden Imam or Mahdi, and to put it plainly, no Middle East chaos, no Mahdi. More Middle East chaos equals quicker appearance of the Mahdi and his assistant. Get it? Everything we are seeing in the Middle East is about the fulfillment of Islamic messianic prophecy and the creation of a global Islamic caliphate, meaning Islam will be the only world religion. Submission is mandatory. Jihad is expected, even in America. The mainstream media, of course, is not telling us this. Fox News contacted me for an interview about the Maya prophecy back in December. I told them I was working on the Mahdi story, and if it wanted an interview about something that is really meaningful and really matters, I would be happy to talk with them about this era-defining topic. It's been over a month, and they still haven't asked for more information. No surprise there. But according to Islamic prophecy, we will know the 12th Imam, the Mahdi, when he arrives, because he will be the one to recover and reveal the Ark of the Covenant, which is the ascension throne of Yahweh, the Old Testament God, and other figures. The Ark of the Covenant will be his sign and his symbol. Islamic prophecy says he will be assisted by Jesus, who will help him assemble the Ark of the Covenant. Are you ready for this? Are you ready to see the appearance of these figures on the world stage? In Jerusalem? In Washington? In Los Angeles? In Nashville? Chicago? Detroit? Dallas? You might not have long to wait. As noted, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad believes he is divinely ordained to introduce the Mahdi. He will leave the presidency of Iran in June. It seems to me, if that is if my profile is correct, that he won't want to leave office without accomplishing at least some, if not all, of his divine mission. This means a lot could go down between now and June. When Vice President Joe Biden speaks of opening talks with Iran's spiritual leader, the Ayatollah Khomeini, as he did last week, this is the subject they will be discussing. The 74-year-old Ayatollah, the supreme leader of Iran, has claimed contact with the Mahdi, who promised to return while Khomeini is alive. And Khomeini told the Iranian people last summer to prepare for the end times and judgment day. Now, all this may amount to nothing, and I hope that's the case. However, it may also indicate it's time for the people of Iran, Israel, and America to unite and to stop the planned chaos that will inevitably lead to the loss of millions of lives and the poisoning of our planet. There are five levels of readiness that have to be prepared for the coming of the Mahdi and Jesus, the representative of Iran's supreme leader said. Individual readiness, the readiness for creating the environment, systematic readiness, the readiness in the region, and the international readiness. According to the Iranian site, this means Occupy Wall Street must take place, and the Americans must lose hope in democracy, the Democratic Party, and others, and lose faith in the UN, while at the same time the unraveling in the Middle East, which was not right before, must have taken place before the coming. There's the plan, my friends. Take away the hope of America. Take away the hope of the world in preparation for the coming Islamic Messiah and the coming of his assistant, Jesus. The Iranian Revolutionary Guards are one vehicle for the preparation for the coming, says the Islamic website. And in the current Islamic awakening, the Arab Spring, in the region and on the international arena, the Quds forces, the Republican Guard, play a major role in preparing the readiness of the human force needed such an event, for such an event, the Ayatollah's spokesman said. The chief commander of the guards and the supreme leader's representative are tasked for preparing the individual readiness, regional readiness, as well as the international readiness for the coming. The representative emphasized during a recent sermon in Tehran that the Islamic Republic must directly confront America so that the necessary environment is created for the reappearance of the Mahdi, who will kill all infidels and raise the flag of Islam in all corners of the world. As I said, it's time for the people of Iran, Israel, and America to unite and stop the planned chaos that could lead to the loss of these millions of lives. We have to reach out to the other side before it's too late. In fact, we are obligated to do so. I don't know how we do this. I do know that we are responsible for the coming atrocities if they happen. Therefore, we must summon our courage. So what do we do? My answer has been to try to reveal the secrets of the Ark of the Covenant, the relic that unifies Jews, Christians, and Muslims, and try to find a common ground among the peoples. Rani Edry is an Israeli graphic designer who inspires me greatly. Last year, when it looked as if Iran and Israel were ready to start yet another war, when Bibi Netanyahu and Mahmoud Ahmadinejad climbed high up in the tree and looked like they were ready to ignite war, this graphic designer had an incredible idea. He took a picture of himself and his daughter holding the Israeli flag. Underneath, he placed the words, "Iranians, we will never bomb your country. We love you." Edry posted it on Facebook and went to bed. By the next morning, the image had gone viral. Much to Edry's surprise, the supportive and encouraging comments were not just from other Israelis, but from Iranians as well. Somehow, in the night, the image had crossed through what had seemed an impenetrable barrier, and soon people from all over Facebook began sending in images of themselves to have the message, "Israel, Heart, Iran," put on them. As the message spread across the web, Iranians started responding with their own pictures and the "Iran, Heart, or Love, Israel" slogan. For every picture of an Israeli, a picture of an Iranian could be found. Israeli-Iranian couples and friends began sending images of themselves together with their passports in view. With Facebook groups like "Israel Loves Iran" and "Iran Loves Israel" gaining ground, other countries joined in. Soon, there were support groups across the globe. It's clear that the people do not want the politicians' wars. This online movement is a wonderful start. If you have any additional ideas for how to transform this potentially perilous world situation, please post them here. The time is now. Thank you for listening. This has been Revelations. We'll see you next time.
This is Whitley Strieber. I would like to thank you, William, for that commentary, and I can only add my profound and deeply felt agreement. It is a very serious situation. It is not understood correctly in the West, and the danger is extraordinary.